If you don't know me, my name is Nathan. I'm the associate pastor around here. And normally they keep me in my office, but they do let me out to sing once in a while. And then sometimes to get to speak also. Yeah, what? I'm sorry, there's no children's church today. Thank you, Mark. In case you guys are wondering, no children's church today. I know. I just found out this morning. I should have said that. Thank you. All right, so anyhow, but yeah, once in a while they do let me speak as well, and what a joy that really is, you know, to be able to get up here and open God's Word, and we get to read and explore together. I mean, there's really nothing better that we have to do as believers than when we gather and when we look into the Word of God. It's exciting. So hey, I want to start today by having you imagine with me. Maybe you haven't imagined in a while. If you're like me, you know, it seems like we grow up and there comes a point in our lives where we stop imagining. We stop dreaming about what could be or what might be. But here, just imagine with me a little bit, okay? Imagine the scene. You're walking across a bridge. It's over an incredible. Man, we got our imagination all messed up. It's hard enough. Hard enough. What? Okay, so we got to stop thinking about batteries. Think about this bridge. Think about the bridge. We're walking over a bridge. It's over an incredible canyon. It's very wide and impossibly deep. The bridge is so high that it makes you dizzy. And the boards of the bridge, they creak as you step on each one. Creak, creak. Oh, I can actually make this creak a little bit. Creak. You peer over the edge of the bridge into terrifying darkness. What's the matter, Adam? I got you nervous? Terrifying darkness as you look over the edge of this creaky bridge. So you start walking a little faster. And you hear a snap. And then you hear a break. And so you dash for the end of the bridge, and it's just ahead. But the bridge gives way, and then you're falling. But as you fall, you reach out in desperation, and your hand grabs onto the edge of the canyon wall. Thank you, Jody. You look around. You're hanging by one hand. The bridge is gone, but you're alive. But there is absolutely no way that you can climb up this wall. And your arms are already getting tired. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Now imagine this feeling. There's a man, and he leans over the edge of the canyon wall, and he calls your name. He leans over and he extends his hand to you, and he says, "Grab on." In that moment, what is it that we need to do?
Let go.
Let go. Need to grab on, right? It's not a time to be overcome with emotion. It's not a time to make a speech. It's not the time for you to brush your hair and change your clothes and get ready to meet this guy, is it? That's silly. It's time to reach out by faith and grab onto this guy's hand. He needs you to do that. And that's what it's like when we trust Christ with our lives. That's what it's like. We cannot get ourselves out of the dangerous predicament that we're in, and so we need someone to rescue us. So the question is this. Here's my question for today. once we reach out our hand, once he lifts us out of the pit, once he puts our feet on solid ground, then what is it that he asks us to do next? What is it that he says to us once he's rescued us? What comes next? Yeah. When we've trusted Christ and once he's saved us, he looks into our eyes. He looks into your eyes. And he says this, enlist. Enlist. I'm building an army. I'm calling you out. I want you to lead the charge. I want you to carry my name everywhere you go. And the enemy will be no match for you because I'll be with you. You will be my follower. You will be a Christian. Now, those are big words, but that's exactly what he says to us. Those are big words. But after all, he has just saved our life, right? I mean, think about it from this way. If the paramedic, if he drags you out of the car right before it explodes, and then he says, hey, could you help me with something? What are you going to say? Sorry, man, I'm busy. No, you're not going to say that. After the surgery has gone well and the surgeon has saved you from a certain doom and he says, hey, could you fill this out for me? What do you say? Whatever you say, man. Likewise with Christ, he's saved us. He's redeemed us from the pit and he says, enlist and follow me. Well, I've got a sheet in your bulletin today. It's a pink sheet. Looks like this. I didn't actually choose the color, just so you know. What I did is I asked Andrea, the secretary. I said, "Hey, what would be a good color? You know, just pick one out." And she kind of surprised me with pink. And it's so that's what we got. So you guys can't miss it. Jesus calls to us. He calls to us. And so there are six things that I want you to know about his call. Now, six things that you need to know about his call on our lives. Once he's redeemed us from the pit and he has placed his call on us, what is it that he's looking for? Six things. Now, when Jesus calls to us, there are certain things that he's calling us to. You'll notice on the sheet, most of these are you're called to something or another. Called is a very, very popular word in the Bible. Very popular. It shows up about 504 times, I think, the word called. And this word, this English word called, it comes from the Greek word. We just translate it called, but the Greek word is kaleo. Sounds a lot like called. And it simply means to invite, to summon, or to call to a task. To invite or to summon or to call to a task. Oh, and so when Jesus calls us, he summons us, invites us, and he calls us to a task. And there's six things that we're called to. When Jesus calls us, it's not just to grab on and be saved. It's not just that, because his plans are always more than we could ever imagine. They're always more. His plans are never just for the moment, but they're for our good for eternity. Think about that for just a moment. His plans are never just for the moment, because he's not short-sighted. His plans are never for just now. They're for our good for eternity. He calls us to a lot more than just survival. So here's six things that I feel like we need to know about what it means to be a Christian. And we're going to go in reverse order, so it's kind of like this is a countdown, in a sense, headed towards number one. So, number six. You are called to hope. You are called to hope. Let's look at this first verse here. It's Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians 1:18. It reads like this. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That you may know the hope to which he has called you. Now, if you notice, the word hope has the word the in front of it, right? So if a word has the word the in front of it, what kind of a word does that make it? I feel like I'm an English teacher, but it's a noun, right? It's a the hope. It's not hope as in a verb, like we hope for something, but he's called you to something. He's called you to know the hope that he's called you to. You have a future. You have a secure future. You have an inheritance that's set aside for you. It's reserved for you. He's called you to hope. When we trust Christ, we enter into a relationship that never ends. When he reaches out his hand and we grab on, he says, essentially, Mikasa sukasa. What I have, it's yours. He's called us to a hope, something that does not perish, something that does not fade away, that it's got your name on it. Now, I have some news for you. And this might sound a little weird at first, but you need to think of it in this way. You are not dating Jesus. You're not dating him, and he is not dating you. And what I mean to that is he's never going to call you to his side and say, hey, we need to talk. Have you guys ever had that happen before when you're dating somebody and they say, hey, we need to talk? And you're like, I know what that means. I'm getting dumped. I know exactly what you mean. We need to talk. Yeah, whatever. You mean I'm getting dumped. Jesus will never, ever call you and say, hey, we need to talk. He'll never dump you because you're not dating him and he's not dating you. He's the bridegroom and we, his church, are the bride. And in God's eyes, this is a covenant relationship that lasts for forever. He doesn't break it. He's called us to a hope. In Ephesians 4:4, a little bit later in Ephesians, it says this: there's one body and there's one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Every one of us is called to the same hope, this same future together with Christ forever. He will never leave us and he'll never forsake us. So we're not called to some kind of an uncertain destiny. In Christ, we have an anchor for the soul, and it's good for forever. I could honestly just preach on this one for the whole morning, but we need to move on. But before we do, I got to show you this one verse that I found this week. It's Revelation 17:14. What I did is I kind of did a study through the Bible just on the word called. I looked up the word called here and there throughout the Bible, and this one really caught my eye. It's a picture of what happens towards the end, in the end times. And speaking about the world, it says, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome because he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And look who's with him. And with him will be his called, his chosen and faithful followers. You know what? That might as well say your name right there. The Lamb will overcome because he's the King of Kings, and with him is going to be Mark. With him is going to be Diane. With him is going to be Laura and Nathan. Your name is right there. With him will be his called. If God has called to you and you have reached out and grabbed his hand, your name's right here. You'll be with him when he overcomes in the end. So number six, you're called to a hope. You are called to hope. Number five, you're called to faithful action. You are called to faithful action. Hey, by the way, thanks for bringing me this battery. I should put that in, right? Rather than just letting it sit there. Number five, you're called to faithful action. As believers, we are called to an obedience that is born of faith. I think this goes in this way. We are called to an obedience that is born by faith. And it's the kind of faith that makes you move. Jesus has not called us to a kind of belief where we hang on to the edge of the cliff and we say, you know, I'm good. I got it. I'm okay. I think I got this under control. That's not the kind of faith that he's called us to. If you believe that he can rescue you, then we reach out our hand, right? then we reach out our hand. But, I mean, even for me, I think if we're honest, from time to time, I kind of find myself hanging here on the side of the cliff saying, I think I got this under control. I'm kind of self-sufficient. I think I know what to do. I kind of got a path figured out, and I think I'm going to stay on it. I think we stay there sometimes. And that's just a so-called trust or a so-called faith. We get wise in our own eyes, I guess, and self-sufficient. But faith in Christ creates obedience to Christ. Faith in Christ creates obedience to Christ. And that's what he's called us to. He's called us to faithful action. Now check this verse out. 1 Timothy 6:12. First Timothy 6:12 reads like this. It says, fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which he has called you. It's active, isn't it? There's a fight. There's a taking hold of something. When he calls us to faith, it is a faith of action, of obedience, where we take hold of what it is he's put before us. It reminds me of this passage in Hebrews. Read Hebrews 11:8 with me. By the way, I know we're going through lots of different scriptures. It's kind of the nature of this, since we're looking at different things that we're called to. So Hebrews 11:8 says this, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Even though he didn't know where he was going. How is it that this verse says that Abraham obeyed? It says by faith. By faith he obeyed. By faith he trusted God and he followed him, believed him, and he went to a place that God was calling him to, and he didn't even know where it was. Man, for me, I feel like I got to know all the answers sometimes. I got to have the whole thing all written out before me. Let me know what the different steps are and what it's going to look like and who I'm going to meet and all of that. But Abraham knew that in trusting God, sometimes we just step out and we go. We have faith, faithful action. That's what he's calling us to when we enlist in his army. Faithful action. Not because he wants to keep secrets from us, but because we need to trust that he knows best. Faithful action. You're called to faithful action. So next, number four, you're called to be different. You are called to be different. Some of you are like, I got that under control, man. I can be as weird as the next one, you bet. You are called to be different. You are called to be different from who you were before you knew Christ, and you are called to be different from the world around us. It's a double call. Called to be different from who you were, we turn our back on certain things, and called to be different from those who are around us. Take a look at 1 Peter 13. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action and be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Be holy in all that you do. This is basically a call to be like God in what he does. Now, that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? To be like God. But that's what he says. Be holy just as he is holy. You know, in a big way, as believers, we are called to be examples of God's character and God's ways. That's what he's looking for from us, to be an example of God's character and his ways as we live our lives. We're called to be different. We're called to talk differently. We read different books. We play different games. We spend our time doing different things. Peter has a really good example of this when he says this, and he says, be holy just as I am holy. Then down here in chapter 3, he says this. Chapter 3, verse 9 says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because you were called to this. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. What's he saying? He says, you're called to be different. Now, in the world, if somebody insults you, what do? You insult them right back. Probably better than what they insulted you. You one-up them, right? Because that's how we do it in the world. But he says, don't be like that. Don't repay evil with evil. Don't repay insult with insult. Be different. Live your life a different way. We're called to be different enough so that people may even begin to think we're a little crazy sometimes. Honestly, where they say, that doesn't make any sense, the things you do. It just doesn't line up. I don't know anybody that acts like that. We're called to be different, and we're called to live our lives a different way. So let's move on. We've got three left, and I'll take these next three a little quicker. Number three, you are called to love one another. You're called to love one another. Jesus says, really, this is the best way to spot his army. It's because they love one another. That's the best way to know who you're dealing with, when we see Christians who love one another. John 3:23, it says simply this, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us to do. To believe and then to love one another. So I want to challenge you to take a step in this area this week, because this is one that I, even though it's the best way to describe his body, it's one that we struggle with sometimes, truly loving one another. And so I want to challenge you that before today is over, I want you to take a look around this room. To just look around this room. Before you leave today, you don't have to do it right now, but before you leave, take a look and notice the people that are here. Just notice them. Not just your favorite few, not your buddies, not just your family, but just notice the people that are here, because these are Jesus' friends. They're his friends. That's what he calls us. He calls us his friends. And so make one of them your friend. Maybe somebody that you don't know, that you haven't met before. Start up a relationship with them. Because, honestly,